There was a special man that passed away a couple of months ago. He's a father of a Talmud of mine, Mr. Jerry Pasternak. After his Hakamas Matseva, I was reminded that he loved to send emails, humorous emails, his son's Divrei Torah. And he sent an email once that, I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but they're quite striking. He wrote something along the lines, if when you finish supper tonight, there's food in your fridge, then you're better off than 90% of the world. If you have a penny in the bank to your name, then you're luckier than 95% of the world. And if you're reading this email on your own personal laptop, then you're luckier than 99% of the world. It hit me when I received it. I know that this man, who is a tremendous Ohev Torah, a tremendous Ohev Eretz Yisrael, that he had been struggling for years and years and years with cancer, was thriving, and he enjoyed life and his family. And that's a person who internalized this idea, who noticed that phenomenon, looked into that statistic. Rabosai, we're so lucky. It's the end of a zman. It's a time for a person to reflect and say, Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. But let's take that very important statistic of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and let's just take that and look at it from a ruchniyostika perspective. If you and I were lucky to be born as Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we're better off than 99% of the world. If you were lucky to have a Jewish education, any type of Jewish education, you're luckier than 99.8% of the world. And that you and I were zochet to learn Torah b'kosle ha'yeshiva in Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh, we're luckier than 99.999% of the world. But there's a challenge. And this is a challenge of going into Bein HaZmanim. The Chafetz Chaim's Mesholim are extremely, extremely powerful. In the Sefer Shem Olam, Beis Tesvav, Chafetz Chaim said a mashal that's become famous today, but it's kedai to repeat. And that is that there was a businessman from Europe who went to the Far East. In the time of the Chafetz Chaim, I think they really believed that in the Far East, eventually they began to say this about America too, that the streets were paved with gold, right? So they believed that there are a lot of rubies, there's a lot of gold, and there's a lot of silver. And a man went to do business over there. And the mashal goes that they used to say in Europe that the man came there and sure enough, there were so many diamonds, it was full of gold and silver. And for years he was doing business there, and the hottest commodities were not gold and silver. The hottest commodities were meat and chicken. And he got a letter from his wife that had been written for a year before. It's time for him to come home. And he decides he's going to go home and bring his family precious things. So the shota, the fool goes and he piles up boxes and boxes of herring and of fancy meats. And he begins to travel home. He arrives home. By the time he gets all the way back to Europe, it smells, it stinks. And he comes home and his wife and his children meet him by the door. And they see what he's brought them. And his wife throws a tantrum. How could you do this to us? Chicken fats? Spoiled chicken fats? This is what you left us for 3-4 years? Chafetz Chaim continues in the mashal and he says the man falls asleep. When he falls asleep, his wife gets rid of all the half-spoiled meat and she begins to rummage through his clothing looking for something from the wealths of the Far East. And sure enough, she finds in his back pocket, there's a small ruby, some leftover change, there, according to the legend, there that was just a potik, it was nothing, it was a small amount. He had just forgotten to take it out of his pocket. And she runs and she goes to the fair and she changes that diamond and she comes back and she quickly prepares things and the house, by the time the man wakes up, looks beautiful. She's happy, she buys herself a new dress. And of course, when the man wakes up and he realizes what has happened, he's not besimcha, his wife is besimcha. But he realizes that the place where he came from, there were so many more rubies that he could have brought home. The famous Nimshal of the Chavetz Chaim is that in this world, there are people that are running after meat, fish, chicken. And those things are all necessary to sustain us, we could add to what the Chavetz Chaim says. And then when a person gets up to Shamayim, a simple Jew, the simple Jew, when he gets up to Shamayim, so he has, the Malachim are searching, all he's brought with him, is this Gashmias? And sure enough, the simple Jew, he does have a few rubies here, a few rubies there, but when he goes into Gan Eden Nevuch, says the Chavetz Chaim, he sees what else he could have brought and what he left behind. Why do I say this mashal at the end of the Bein Hazman? The Nimshal itself is very, very, very powerful. Because at the end of the Bein Hazman, where we're going, Bein Kosle HaYeshiva, Bein Kosle HaKolel, we're going to a place where we have rubies and diamonds, and that's what we chase after, and we're going to a culture. For those who are going back to the fantastic United States of America, which is one of the greatest gifts that humanity, mark my words, that humanity has ever been given, and that is the democracy of the United States, but at the end of the day, there's no doubt that what they're chasing after there is not rubies and diamonds. And there's an entirely different currency. And it's a tremendous challenge for us to be able to make sure that our priorities remain what they're supposed to be. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita has a sicha, sicha Yud Aleph, in Sefer Dvarim, where he quotes a Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Tezvav. And we're going to have a double challenge here for the Bein Hazman, and Rav Nevin Sal warns us. Amazing pasuk, the Gemara Darshan's in Iyov Chavches. Lo yarchenuch zahavu zchuches. Torah doesn't compare to the value of gold and glass. Frek the Gemara, I understand the analogy to gold, but what's the analogy to glass? Says the Gemara, Elu divrei Torah, shekoshin liknois kikli zav. It's hard, and think about all of our struggles, this man. At 12 o'clock at night, where a Talmud pushed himself for another hour. When he pushed himself when his chavrusa wasn't there. Those are the dearest moments of our lives. I can still remember vividly when I was your age, pushing myself a little bit more. I'm shoei for those days. When we were young, when we had this Bechira and we could look back at those moments of when we said, wait a second, I pushed myself a little bit more, in a healthy way, of course. Those were Kashin Liknos Kezav, but the Gemara says, V'noichin la'abdon kiklischuchis. But it's so easy to lose it, kiklischuchis. What was so obvious were the rubies and the diamonds, that currency that we know as the MS. When we begin to go back to that culture that values those chicken fats, then things begin to change. And Rav Nevin Sal Shlita continues, and he says that there is a double challenge. When a person leaves yeshiva, a person is leaving the makar, he's leaving the source of where his Gilui HaEmes was. He quotes many cases in the Torah where Klal Yisrael, or individuals, took lightly the makar, the source of MS, and because they didn't take it and value it enough, and they began to learn not from the makar, but from a klisheni, then there were many distortions of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael in the beginning of Devarim, you were happy with the Shoftim Vishotrim, at the end of the day you lost out because Ein Adomeh, from someone who learns from the Makar, from the Rav, to someone who learns from the Talmud. Rav Nevensal argues that when you go into Zbein HaZmanim, there's a distance that the Talmud has from the Rav. It now becomes the challenge of learning from the Talmud. The first Aveira in the Torah. First Aveira in the Torah is because the Tzivui, Chava here, she doesn't hear from the car. She doesn't hear from the Rav. She hears it from the Talmud. And therefore, there's a double challenge. It's so easy to lose the Torah, and the environment that we're going into is a challenging environment. You know, it reminds me, when we were just making reference to this even before we started, when we were Kollel fellows, there was a legend that someone called up Rav Schechter. Rav Schechter had opposed a certain change in halacha that had been initiated by feminists. And a woman called him up and said, Rabbi Schechter, how can you possibly disagree with a rabbi in our community who says that it's permissible and even ideal? So Rav Schechter asked her, which rabbi are you talking about? So she told him the name. Rav Schechter said, well, do you know that in his last kollel bechina, he got a 34. Zilzul HaTorah begins when people become confused of where is the Rav and where is the Talmud. And Rav Nevensal's Melitza, a Kli Rishon is Mevashel, a Kli Sheni is Eina Mevashel. When the Talmud goes into Golos, then he runs the risk of not being able to learn from the Makor, and that's a tremendous challenge. So what's the solution? How are we supposed to maintain and even thrive during the Bein HaZmanim? So I continue quoting from my Rebbe. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyo, Hatzivi lach tziyunim, simi lach tamrorim. When we go into Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make tziyunim and tamrorim. Let's define what both of those things are. When you go into Galus, says the Marikaro, Omar lo hamadrich hemi lecha simonim achshav v'derech hazeh shani madrichecha. When you go into Golos, you need those signs that remind you to stay connected to that original Makar. And what that means is that there are certain things that we accomplished in this beautiful Zman in Yeshiva that a person has to review and stay connected with. It's not enough just to go weiter, to go further. There's something beautiful that was accomplished in this beautiful Zman that you do chazara on, where you feel these tziyunim, the things that connected you to the shoresh hamikar, to the shoresh of your success. Not only about going weiter. The pasuk also says, that's what my Rebbe emphasized in the Sikha. Just want to add on a small level to what our Rebbe taught. But the pasuk also says, and plant tamrurim. Says Rashi, tamrurim are day trees. For those of you familiar, I constantly emphasize that a day tree, a palm tree, its roots grow very, very deep into the ground. It takes a while to see the peros. There are two things that a Talmud is supposed to do. One thing a Talmud is supposed to do is make sure he has the tziyunim that are going to remind him what that real makar is. I don't have the time in a 10-minute muster to elaborate the exact details of how to go about doing it. I've discussed this on other occasions. But the other thing is to realize, Rabosai, that you have seeds. Seeds to plant something very, very, very special. You have a Torah Seretz Yisrael, and when a person goes into Golos, he could take those seeds of Kedusha Seretz Yisrael, and like Chazal say, the Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos of Chutz Laretz eventually come back to Eretz Yisrael. They have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Their Kedusha is never paka. That's because it's planted with the Kedusha of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sara. Now let me go from talking about Bein HaZmanim to talking about leaving yeshiva in general. And I've noticed something as a Rebbe who zocha to learn with Talmidim who are 19, 20 years old, who are at a very, very important transition in their lives, that this pasuk, Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, Simi Lach Tamrorim, is so important in dealing with the challenge of a Talmud that's moving on. And I've noticed two terrible extremes. In Musar, sometimes we focus on the shortcomings, and in Mamela, we see the strengths. Two terrible extremes, and both of them are very common amongst Talmidim that are going quote-unquote, back to learn in Chutz La'aretz. One of them is a Talmud who, at the end of the day, he says, I was in yeshiva, I got what I needed to get out of yeshiva X, and now I'm ready for yeshiva Y. It reminds me, they say a story, that there was a bachur from, I mentioned this before in this classroom, that there was a bachur from the Bnei Akiva High School right here in this neighborhood, in Beit Vegan, Nativ Meir, who, it was known that there were boys from Nativ Meir who used to get what they say, what they refer to in Hebrew as burnt. And they switched to Mir Yeshiva. And when they one of them came to Mir Yeshiva with an interview from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked him where he learned beforehand. So he said, I learned in the Nativ Meir, but it's not my Hashkafa. And he started speaking a little bit down on the Yeshiva, because he's moving on. You know, he doesn't need that Yeshiva anymore. He's looking for something greater and bigger pastures. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz quoted Maimar Chazal. He got up, legend has it, he got up out of his chair and he screamed, a bachur that spits in the well that he drinks that he drank from has no place in my yeshiva. If you're zocha to grow in a particular place, that place is a chelek in your avodas Hashem. And at this time, whether it's a second year boy or it's a second year smicha fellow, these growing moments in your lives, these foundation, these building blocks, are some of those precious things. Hatzivi lach tziyunim. These tziyunim are there for the rest of your life. Don't throw it away and say, I'm moving on to greater pastures. No! These special moments will be the most special moments of your life if you treat them properly. And in the other extreme, there are talmidim, I got an email from New York, 3 days ago, from a fellow in the Kol HaElyon, who said that he noticed that a few of the Talmidim, when they come back from Eretz Yisrael, they're already in Bidyeved zone. They're already in a zone where they say, it's not ideal anymore, the situation that I'm in is not ideal, it was once ideal, and everything is downhill after that. Hatsimi loch tziyunim v'simi loch tamrorim. No, it's not the pshat that you once had those tziyunim and that's the only thing that you have to look back towards. When can I go back to Eretz Yisrael and Sukkot? When can I go back during the winter? And then I'm going to recapture it? V'simi loch tamrorim. And now you can plant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora to go out and plant that Torah. And these two extremes are extremely, extremely common. Reb Nachman, Ein Shum Yeish Bolam Klal. You have the Talmidim that dance it, then they sing it, but when it comes to living it, they don't live it. But there is something even more than that. For a person who's destined until Goel Tzedek, hopefully even faster, but if, until Goel Tzedek, he has to be outside of Arzeinu HaKadosha, he has to quote-unquote return to his original home where he grew up, there's something else in Simi Loch Tamrorim. Says the Gemara in Yuma Peivav, and this is the most important message that we could possibly give in a Bein HaZmanim, and everybody knows this. This is the most important message. I got my first Bein HaZmanim for Rav Ron Spiegel, and it's a message that, as simple as it is, the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, my Rabbeim emphasized this, and sometime in Musar we have to review the Dvarim Hachi Pshutim. Says the Gemara that the tafkid of every single person is sheyesh hei shem shamayim misayiv al yodcha. That the shem Hashem become beautiful through your actions. Many Talmidim who are here, whether they're avrechim that are living in apartments right next to the yeshiva, or they're boys in a dormitory, they don't have the same opportunity that they're going to have this Bein HaZman that they had the entire year. They're not going to. There's something unique that they didn't have. And that is Shehei Shem Shamayim Misayiv Al Yadcha. And that's the Similach Tamrurim. When you go home, Rabbi Branchfield used to emphasize, your parents are going to judge whether your Zman was a success or not. Many of our parents don't know how to read a Reb Chaim or a Ktzais. So how are they going to judge whether we succeeded in yeshiva? The way in which they're going to see is the way in which we act. The way in which we help. And Kibud Ava'im is shokul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. The Rabbos Talmidei Chacham, Kabei Desavicha Ve'asimecha, includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's one of the first five. How a person's miyaches to Talmidei Chacham, how a person's miyaches to one's parents, all of that is integral. All of that is absolutely integral into whether a person's man was successful in his Amelus Batorah. And so now we have another Havan of the Pasuk that our Rebbe was quoting. When a person is going into Golos, Similach Tamrurim, this is the most important place that a person could plant. There are things that during the Beinat Zmanim that a person could plant that he wasn't able to plant in yeshiva. Planting is sometimes in the places where Ruchnius is the hardest. Hazorim Bidima Berina Yikzoru. Planting takes place in times of challenge. The tziyunim of Artzenu HaKadosh are not enough. It needs a tamurim. Bezer Hashem, we should, if we have to, go to Chutz La'aretz and plant those tamurim. Remember the tziyunim. And Bezer Hashem, be mekadesh Shem Shemayim, that the Shem Shemayim will be mesayev al yedeinu. And through that, we won't forget what the diamonds and rubies are. And we won't be swept away by the culture, the hedonistic culture, the culture that's running after Basar V'yayim and has lost and has forgotten. Hanechmodim Mizavu Mipozmav.